We've got to have our foundation strong. It's got to be stable. It can't be upon sinking sand. And it's got to be upon the Word of God, upon Christ. Otherwise, the house will collapse. The foundation, if it's wobbly, if it's weak, then it will cause the whole house to come down. No matter how strong the house is, the foundation's got to be strong. And so one of the things this morning we're going to get into has to do with foundations. And it has to do with our thinking and our will, the human will. So we're going to turn this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Exodus 13. And media team, I'm going to be using New King James this morning, so if you can use that, that would be awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this word. And Lord, we pray this morning over our hearts, over our minds, Lord, that you would open up revelation to us. Speak to us today, Lord. Unveil anything that would cause a darkness in our thinking. Bring your light into our understanding, enlighten our minds, enlighten our understanding so that we would know the way to walk in, the way to go. Father, we thank you so much for your word, that it does bring light, it brings revelation, it brings truth, Father, into this world so that we can live a life that's victorious, we can live a life that shines for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Exodus 13. But before we get into this, I just want to kind of build a little bit of a groundwork, because one of the things We all know, and you probably have heard many times, that God is sovereign. He is all-powerful, right? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And everyone would agree with that. The thing is, many times we don't understand that the will of man is something that it's not more powerful than God, but God has given us the free will to choose. So no matter how much God wants something for us, if we don't align ourselves and follow the acts of faith in accordance with his word, then we're not going to see those things come to pass in our life. So the human will is a very strong thing. And so we've got to adjust our thinking and our will, or that soul realm, so to speak, so that it aligns with the word of God. And then we've got to do the actions in accordance. And I'm going to show you an example this morning of that very thing that happened, that God, as much as he wanted the children of Israel to go into the promised land, yet they did not, because they did not change their thinking. They did not change their thinking. And so we've got to realize that as much as God is all sovereign, but he has given us this time on earth to be the authority on earth. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. I think my prayer class, the Legacy U prayer class, has probably had that drilled into them over the last 10 weeks, time and time again, because it has so much to do with prayer. Many times people don't pray because they just think God's going to do whatever he wants anyways. And so they don't realize how much their prayers are important and powerful to make change and to create an avenue for God to work here on this earth. He doesn't just get to do whatever he wants because he gave the lease to man. And so it's in our governance. We are to govern and rule on this earth. And so that's why it's up to us. We've got to pray, and we have to ask God for his intervention through our prayers. And then he's invited to work. As much as he wants to work, he's got to be invited by a human, because he has given the earth to man to govern. And so the most powerful force on earth is the will of man. Is the will of man. So let's get into this. Let's look at this. And, you know, just to keep in mind, too, think of the times, all the times when Jesus spoke into the lives of people, and yet the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even in the presence of God, they chose not to come into agreement with what he said. They still chose to follow their own will, even under the presence of God Almighty, even under the presence that Jesus Christ himself walking on earth, the word of God on earth, as he spoke, it still, man still had to make a choice of what they were going to believe or not. And many people chose not to believe, and many people chose to believe. But ultimately, the choice is up to us. The choice is up to us. So let's look at Exodus 13. We're going to start at verse 17, and actually it's a very short passage of scripture that I'm going to be using this morning. But it says a lot, and it shows us a lot. And just the background to this, if you're not familiar with where we're at in Scripture, Exodus is the book as the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. They had spent 430 years in slavery, in bondage in Egypt. And so they're coming out of Egypt. They're now coming into their freedom. And the thing is, God is bringing them out. He's leading them out. But something interesting happens when he brings them out. In verse 17, it says, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." Or another version says, that was the shorter way. How many people, whenever you're driving somewhere, you go the long way around? Most people don't, right? They go the short way. They don't want to have to drive any longer than they need to. Well, I'm sure it was the same thing here. The Israelites didn't want to walk any longer than they needed to. And in fact, this journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan should have only taken about 35 days. But they wandered for 40 years because they did not believe. But it's interesting, before they even got to that point, when they see war and return to Egypt, lest they change their minds and return. That's a powerful statement. We're going to get into each one of these here in a minute. Verse 18, "So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt." In fact, it's interesting, another version says that they went up ready for battle. And we'll talk about that here in a minute too. But the thing is, God, he brought them out, but he did not take them by the easiest route. He didn't take them the shortest route. He took them around by a different way. And if you actually see it on a map, it's like if Egypt is here and the land of Canaan is here, it's just like a kind of a straight shot over. But God brought them down and around and way up and up to here. That sounds like why? But why did it say? Lest they saw the Philistines and they saw war, and what? They changed their mind and return. Return to what? Slavery. See, the thing is, most people, until we get a revelation of God, we operate by the strongholds or the wisdom of the world. Until we get the light or the revelation of God. Once we start getting that and we grab a hold of that and we make the adjustments and we allow the word of God to renew our mind and the understanding of the word, then you see life change. But up until that point, we operate according to the strongholds of our mind or the ways of the world. And a stronghold is something that you believe in. That's why it's so difficult to overcome, because you believe in that stronghold. Therefore, you build your life on that foundation. You build your life on that thinking. And so we've got to change our thinking in accordance to the will of God. And it says here that he led them around. Now, what's interesting is many times we can be in our life, and of course we've been talking about how God is speaking to each one of you to make establish certain things in your life to thrive this year. That's our word this year for this house is thrive. And so we're in order to thrive, that means we've got to change something. Because if we weren't thriving in a specific area before, whatever that area is for your life, whatever God's speaking to you, then it means something's got to change in our behavior, in our thinking, in order to begin to thrive. Because we can operate in something for many years. And it's what's interesting is you can even believe the word of God. You can believe in what it says, but still act opposite. Many people can say, yes, that's true, but I do it this way. Yes, I agree with the word of God, but their actions show something different. And so what's interesting is God said he led them. He led them by the way of the wilderness. It was God. It wasn't the enemy. And sometimes we think, man, I'm in this wilderness place, or I'm in this place where I'm not being fruitful. I'm not seeing the results I want. Man, it must be the enemy. And sometimes it's not always the enemy. And I understand that sometimes it can be. Just like the Philistines, they were the enemy. So they would have, if they would have walked up to the border of Canaan land, they would have been facing an enemy. But when God led them by into the wilderness, that wasn't the enemy. God was trying to bring them to a place to prepare their mind for battle. Because if they would have already walked up and been like, okay, it's time for battle, they would have what? Turned around, changed their mind, and returned back to slavery. Returned back to bondage. And whether we realize it or not, many times people do that. We don't actually sit down and go, you know what, I really want to make these health changes in my life this year, or I really want to begin to operate in the fruit of the Spirit here. I feel like the Lord is pressing me to up my prayer life, to do this, to do that, and we'll get so many days in, and then we don't sit there and go, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm just going to quit this and go back. No, what we do is we tend to just get back into the drift of the old way. The old routine. So there has to be a conscious effort, because it's not like we're intentionally trying to change our mind, but it happens because of easiness and routine, the drift, the flow down the river. That reminds me of a story. One time is years ago, and we had put a canoe in with a couple friends of ours, and we were like, oh, let's just, because we had to end back at the same place. We didn't have a vehicle downstream. And it wasn't really a fast-moving river. And we're like, we'll paddle upstream and then float downstream. That was one of the stupidest things I think we ever did. We paddled and paddled. And, of course, the guy that was with us, you know, he's like 110%, and he was going to make this happen. And he was just paddling. We probably paddled for 2 hours. And it probably took us like 10 minutes to float back down to where the house was. We were exhausted. It was a very exerting. I'm sure we probably built muscle in our arms that day. But the thing is, that was dumb. We were paddling upstream to spend 10 minutes to float downstream. It was just a good example of what it's like sometimes when we're trying to fight against the current. But when you've got God on your side, then you've got the supernatural that's in with it. So you don't have to look at something. And I think that's the thing. Most people look at it like, well, I'm going to have to do all of this by myself. This is going to be so difficult and so hard. But if you remember what I said a couple of weeks ago, when God calls you to do something, there's a grace on your life to do it. And you've got to believe in that grace. You've got to believe that his grace is coming on you to do what he's called you to do. Now, if you're trying to do something he didn't call you to do, there may not be a grace to do it. If I try to walk in someone else's calling, there's not going to be a grace to do it. And it will be an uphill battle. But if I'm walking where he tells me to walk, he's going to give me the strength to do it. He's going to give me the ability to do it. I just have to trust in him. I have to continue to put one foot in front of the other and walk it out. And so here you see the Israelites. It says, lest perhaps the people change. Body, soul, and spirit, they couldn't believe in their God. They couldn't believe that God was going to do it. They were looking at their own ability. They were looking at everything. We can't do that. We're like grasshoppers. We can't take the land. Look at Pharaoh. He's coming after us. He's got chariots. We don't have any chariots. Look at all the big guns of the Egyptians. We don't have all that ammunition. We don't have all of all of that kind of warfare. But you have the hand of God. You have the voice of the Lord. When he says, walk in this way, then you walk in it. Be obedient to what he says. It didn't matter that they were arrayed for battle, that they were battle ready in the sense that they came out in units. It says they came out looking like they were ready for the battle. They had the look of it. Sometimes we can do that spiritually, on the outside. Oh, amen, yes, I'm going to victory. And then 5 minutes later, we're sitting there saying the very opposite or doing the very opposite. You've got to be battle ready in your spirit too. Does somebody want to come to the keyboard? I don't know who's doing that this morning. We can't run back for the handouts. And we can't hit that place where it's so comfortable, where we're willing to go back into the bondage for that little bit that they're handing out, that little bit of comfort, that little bit of ease. You've got to envision the victory. You have to envision yourself in the victory. You have to see yourself in that condition, in that place. What is it that God is speaking to you this year? What is it that he's telling you to move in? What is it that he's saying that he wants you to establish in your life? See, many times people are so worried about trying to get the thing that they're not preparing themselves for it. It's like what I said a couple of months ago. Many times people, they're preparing for the wedding, but they're not marriage prepared. They're preparing for the big day, but they're not prepared for the 40 years after that because they didn't work on themselves. They were just looking for that one day of flowers and having all the decorations in the church in order and this and that, and how many invitations and how many dinners and how many chicken dinners and how many steak dinners do we have to have at the reception, and all of these little details for that day. We spent $20,000 on the wedding. Well, what about the rest of the marriage? Are you preparing yourself in that moment? How do you see yourself? Are you envisioning yourself as having that victory and walking with an authority? Walking in a way that God is giving you this land. See, a person with authority walks differently than a person with a slave mentality. A slave mentality, they're often looking at the oppressor. Well, this person's making the decision, therefore, that's why I can't overcome. You have to begin to take the reins. No, I'm going to make the decisions for my life. Even in leadership, I remember years ago when we had the daycare, and I had to learn at an early age in leadership in business, how to deal with conflict and confrontation in the correct way, not in an idiot way. There's all kinds of ways you can deal with conflict and confrontation, and not all of them are smart. Some of them can look really stupid, and we'll just leave it at that. Okay, so moving on. I had to learn how to deal with confrontation. And you might think today, like, really, that was a problem for you? Nobody likes conflict. Nobody likes confrontation. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody has to go to somebody and say, hey, I need to correct you in this. It's not fun. But I had to learn to do it. If I was going to be a better leader, because my thought was, well, if I just make a general statement to everybody, all 20 of our employees, then surely that one that really needed it, they'll get it. No. In fact, everybody else, all the other 19 got it except for the one. So I learned real quick, I have to deal with confrontation. I have to go one-on-one. What was that? It was a leadership ability that I had to learn. Well, that's not spiritual. Yes, it is. It's learning how to walk in leadership and authority in the correct way. If we don't learn these things, then we're operating from a slave mentality. That's just one example. Obviously, our lives we can have all kinds of examples. And I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you today on. But we can't just spiritualize everything and think, well, as long as I'm just growing in spiritual things, then I'm good to go. There are things that we have to learn in this life, practical things. It doesn't do a mom a bit of good to have memorized the whole Bible, but she doesn't change her children's diapers. There are practical things we have to do in life in order to succeed and be good at it. So that's why I say, I don't know whether God's speaking with you on something with your body, with your soul, or with your spirit, but whatever it is he's speaking to you, be obedient to walk it out. Be obedient to respond to what he is saying, no matter how small or how large. Go ahead and stand to your feet.